At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
This just in from the NFL Network. The Browns have restructured Deshaun Watson's contract. They're still paying way too much for him, but they've created $36 million in cap space, and that gives Cleveland some room to do some work in free agency. We'll get to phone calls coming up, as we always do every Monday, best and worst of the weekend. And this is the day when you find out that your coworker probably knows a whole lot about college basketball, far more than they knew, say, yesterday. Yeah, Seton.
I heard this morning someone talking about, or maybe I read it, I'm not sure which, but a study where you might be more likely to do better in your bracket tournaments knowing nothing about college basketball than if you actually studied up on it.
Yeah, I agree. We should crush we should crush it. You know, if you're old enough to remember when Bjorn Borg would play at Wimbledon, he would start the tournament and he didn't have a beard. By the time the tournament was over and he won Wimbledon, he had a full beard. Jay Billis is maybe channeling Bjorn Borg because he's started his tournament beard. And what a compliment, Jay. That might be the nicest thing that I've ever said about you. The Bjorn Borg of college basketball, Jay Billis, joining us. Hi, Jay.
Was Bjorn Borg not the coolest dude that had ever lived at that time? He was so amazing. Like, I love that dude.
Yeah. He had the headband, the hair, but he would always start the tournament clean shaven. And then 2 weeks later, had a beard, and he's, you know, holding a trophy and probably taking your girlfriend away from you. So you'll be doing some of those things in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, except for the taking the girlfriend away part.
Yeah. All right, make us smarter today. Where do you want to start?
Do you like starting with who got left out?
No, or are you no. More? I have no sympathy for Rutgers or Vandy or Oklahoma State.
What about Clemson?
No, I don't. Jay, if you can't get in with 68, I mean, it's like, you know, qualifying for a bowl game and you win six games in college football. I mean, come on.
Yeah, but they're letting other teams in that aren't as good as you. That's the issue.
Okay,
I will tell you this: that these leagues are studying this stuff, and when they say total body of work, and then they start moaning about your non-conference schedule. Well, how does your non-conference schedule factor into total body of work? If your total body of work's good enough, it shouldn't matter. And I'm telling you, Dan, like some of these administrators now are talking about, why don't we start our own tournament and we'll invite all the Cinderellas and we'll pay them more, but we'll control everything. And I'm not saying it's imminent, but I've heard more of it. And we could be seeing that in the future.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Go back and tell me what you think could be proposed at some point down the road.
I think there is a chance in the future, and I'm not saying it's imminent, but a chance in the future where the biggest conferences will say, why are we letting somebody else control all of this, especially all of this money? Why don't we just start our own tournament? Because as you may recall, when we were kids, the NIT was bigger than the NCAA tournament. There were teams that turned down the NCAA tournament to play in the NIT. And then the NCAA came up with a rule that said, if you get invited to the NCAA tournament, you are not allowed to turn it down. And then they wound up getting sued by the NIT, had to buy it because of that rule and some of those things that they did. But given how everything is changing, is it going to continue to change? And we're having all these conferences realign, and the amount of money in this multi-billion dollar business is growing. Tournament inclusion is a big deal. And having all of the, you know, having this committee decide this stuff when the criteria is a moving target, I think that's going to be a possibility in the future. And again, I'm not saying it's going to happen anytime soon, but you're hearing more about it. And I don't see it in the next few years, but we didn't see any of this conference stuff coming, and we didn't see everything growing to this point 20 years ago. And it would be a lot easier to start that stuff now. Like, they don't have to start a whole structure. All these conference offices are just as big as the NCAA office. So it's not a heavy lift to do that.
Yeah, I always wondered, and I kind of grimace when I hear, well, you know, what did this school do outside of the SEC? Well, they played an SEC schedule. Right. I'm worried about their non-conference. I would care what a team did in the conference, in that tough of a conference, or if it's ACC, although you could argue maybe, you know, it was down this year. But these certain conferences where I go, I'm fine with what you did in your conference, not, you know, what did you do outside your conference? Is that a fair way to look at this?
That's, in my view, that's the way to look at it, is it's supposed to be the automatic qualifiers where everybody has the exact same opportunity to get in the tournament. You win your automatic bid against your peers that you chose to be with in your league. If you don't do that, it's the next best teams. That's the criteria. Mm-hmm. So when you're saying, well, this team didn't, you know, we need to send a message that you need to play a non-conference schedule. So what are we telling Clemson? Don't play smaller conference teams, period. Play big shots. And then people are going to say, well, you're not giving the little guy a chance. Well, you get punished for giving the little guy a chance. And God forbid you lose to a little guy on the road or something. Because Clemson played a bunch of road games, which they're encouraged to do. And look, I'm not, like I said, I'm not here to you know, take up the mantle for this team or that team. But when you're looking at other teams that got in going, they're not as good as Clemson. I do think that's a problem. But it's not, you know, it'll all go away once the first game is played and we'll move on.
North Carolina, the first preseason number one to miss the tournament since they expanded to 64 teams in 1985. Last preseason number one team to miss the tournament was North Carolina State in 1975. All right, you want to?
And weren't they on probation that year?
NC State?
Yeah, they won the they won the championship the year before. I think they actually might have been on probation.
I think, let's see. The automatic bid went to North Carolina, and the at-large bid went to the regular season champ, Maryland. But I don't know if NC State was on probation for maybe the recruitment of David Thompson or something like that. But
I don't remember what it was.
That was the
last
time.
Something in there.
Yeah. What do you think of North Carolina turning down the NIT?
I don't blame anybody for turning down the NIT. I mean, if the players don't want to play, the fans don't want to see it, I don't see what the point is. And especially if you're going to go into the tournament, lay an egg and not want to be there. The only downside of that is they've got some younger players. And if they were going to be able to play those guys, that'd be fine. If you had a younger team, I'd say go ahead and do it. But if they don't want to play, if the guys don't want to do it, and it sounds like they don't, and the fans don't want to watch it. So I think it's a good decision.
All right. What do you think of the four seeds? You okay with top number ones?
Yeah. You know, if you wanted to get technical about it, you know, look at all that Kansas did and where they got sent, but they were still a number one seed. I thought Purdue got probably the toughest draw of number one seeds. And Alabama got a pretty good one. I kind of like Alabama's draw. The one bracket seems like it's loaded with Texas teams. You know, you got Texas A&M, Houston, all that stuff. So maybe they're thinking, let's get one Texas team in there, put them all in there. One of them's got to come out. I don't know. But it's a very, you know, overall it's fine. I don't have a whole lot of qualms about the bracket.
Other teams you like?
I like UConn. I think they're playing well, even though they got beat by Marquette in the tournament. Marquette's legit. I think they're an elite eight team. They could very well run into Purdue or Duke in that bracket. And because of their length and rebounding and all that stuff, the only thing Marquette doesn't do well is rebound. Everything else they do extraordinarily well. So I like Marquette coming out of the bottom part of that. And Duke is playing really well now. Like, I think Duke is 17-1 when they have their full complement of players. And they've been patiently bringing that team along. And for those that say you can't win with freshmen, you know, that's kind of been proven wrong by Kentucky and Duke over the years. But this team is just about freshman dominated. Their best players are freshmen, Kyle Filipowski. But they, man, they're so good defensively. And now their offense is caught up. Like, they're making shots and spreading the floor. And they look like lottery picks now. Now you say that, they'll probably go out and have to repaint the rims in their first few games. But they're legit. They're very good.
And they got Oral Roberts to start out.
And Oral Roberts is good. You remember Oral Roberts beat Ohio State a couple years ago, and they still have the same guard, Max Asmus, spelled A-B-M-A-S, and it's pronounced Asmus. But Oral Roberts might actually be a better team than they were then. They're a little bit more balanced. They've got a 7'4" kid named Connor Vanover who went to Arkansas. He was at Arkansas before he came to Oral Roberts. But Asmus is like a 22 point a game guy, give or take, and he can really score. And he's one of those guys that can go out and get you 30 in a game and be a problem. But I think Duke is too big and too athletic. And their rim protection is so, like, it blocks and changes so many shots around the rim. I think they're going to be too hard to beat for ORU.
We're talking to Jay Billis from the Mothership. What is it about certain coaches when they get to the tournament that it's just different than the regular season? Like Tom Izzo every year, you know, Rick Pitino, it feels like. I mean, there's a few coaches where you go, I don't care what they have, they somehow get the most out of them, and we shouldn't be surprised when they go on a tournament run.
Yeah, I think there's a, you know, I can only go to some of my experience on this. And when I was, I played in the first 64 team bracket. The year before, I think it was 54, we had a bye in the tournament, the first time I played in it. And when it got to 64, I remember as a junior in college thinking, my God, this thing is huge. And your head was spinning with all the stuff going on around it. And it's probably even worse now with the lower third and stuff going up the side and all the results. And my senior year, we were the number one overall seed. And Coach K came into the locker room for a team meeting, and we started talking about the bracket. And he talked about the other side of our bracket, the 32 teams that were on the other side. And he's going, look at all the good teams over there. And then he said, who cares? And he goes, there's only one team coming out of there, and we'll play them on Monday night. And then he gave us a sheet that had a four-team bracket, and it was our first weekend. And he goes, all we have to do is go to Greensboro. It was called the Greensboro Invitational. And he says, we've got a four-team tournament to play this weekend. And it made it manageable for us. And you started thinking about, you know, it's not a golf tournament. We don't have to beat everybody. We just got to beat the ones in our path. And if somebody falls down, fine, we'll play the one that beat them. But we don't have to worry about all this stuff. And honestly, Dan, like, I'm kind of a history guy. I can remember just about everything from all the tournaments I've watched and covered and all that. The one tournament I can't remember what happened in was that one, because we didn't think about anything but us. And I do think, like, Izzo and Pitino and Coach K and some of these others that you're referencing, they do a good job of that, of this is about us. Like, I can't imagine that Roger Federer went into a tournament worrying about the other side of the Wimbledon bracket. There is something about, like, the focus thing. And like, if you win your first couple games and then you go home, that's usually the time where things get, you know, you start getting media coverage and patted on the back and thinking you're really good and all that. And you know, it's sort of the focus issue of your specific path over this entire tournament, which shouldn't matter to you.
Where do you think Rick Pitino's coaching next year?
I don't know. I keep hearing the St. John stuff. I know probably about as much as you do. You know, I field phone calls every once in a while, but I try not to get involved in any of that stuff. But I think it's still in his blood and he still wants to do it. And St. John's would make great sense. He wouldn't have to move from where he lives now, and it would work out really well. And he'd kill it there. He'd do really well. And I'm kind of glad. The only downside of this, if you want to call it a downside, is man, these guys are going a long time. And you know, for some of the younger guys, like when you look at John Shire now at Duke, man, they're having to wait a long time to get a shot and to get a shot at some of the big ones. Like so many, like when John Wooden retired, I think I was in sixth grade living in L.A. And when he announced his retirement at the Final Four in 1975, I thought he was the oldest man in the world, and he was 65. And, you know, there's so many 70-year-old guys. And Boeheim, I mean, you know, Boeheim was, what, 78? And that was unimaginable to me. So there's kind of like, don't these guys play golf? I even called Coach K one time. I called to check in on him, see how he was doing after he left the program. And he answered the phone, and I said, how are the pickleball games going? And he says, no, I'm really busy. And I was like, I was just kidding. just joking.
But you know what it is? There's certain guys who can't. I just remember when Brent Musburger talked about Joe Paterno. He said he'll die coaching, that he would never stop, that if you retire, you die, and that he would stay in the job that amount of time. And I think there's certain guys who – they don't know what they would do if they didn't coach. So why not coach as long as you can coach?
That was kind of Boeheim's thing. I remember Boeheim saying that he was getting a lot of phone calls from friends of his that had retired saying, don't retire. Like, don't quit, because I wish I was still doing it. And I don't think he needed that to keep going. But look, if people love it, I don't have – like, I'm not saying, hey, you should quit at a certain age. But I mean, for crying out loud, they make airline pilots retire, and their retirement ages and other things. But I wind up thinking about sort of the younger guys that I think would do extraordinarily well. It's just hard for them to get in there with guys hanging around longer. But there's so much money in it,
yeah.
And look, it's still fun for them. They get to wear shorts to work every day, and I'm not sure guys their age should be wearing shorts, but that's okay.
Who's your pick to win it all?
I took Arizona. And look, Arizona has some issues. Like, they're not the best defensive team, but they can really score. They average about 19 assists per game, and their big guys are really good. And I think their guards are good, but they're, you know, they may be at times a little bit, you know, decision-making you may quarrel with. But, you know, Kirk Kreese is really I think he's a really good guard. And Courtney Ramey transferred in from Texas and hit a huge shot against UCLA to win the Pac-12 championship in the tournament. I like their path, but you know, Alabama's legit. They're really good, and I could see, you know, if there's an Arizona-Alabama game in the Elite Eight, that's going to be a fistfight.
Good to talk to you. We'll talk to you along the way. As always, we appreciate your time, Jay.
And Dan, even though you're in your late 70s, I don't think you should quit anytime soon.
Yeah. Do you know I'm older than John Wooden when John Wooden retired?
Yes. Yeah. I didn't want to bring that up, but I thought he was the oldest man in the world. And, you know, I don't want to say anything more.
Who's had a better career, me or John Wooden?
I think Wooden would love your career. You know, like your pyramid of success has some different blocks on it, but very impressive.
That's the only defense played in my pyramid were the actual blocks there. That was it. Thank you, Jay.
Thank you, brother.
That's Jay Billis. He works for the mothership. He knows more basketball than you do. Play of the day is up next. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Well, it's halftime and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you do the quick math, the less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your products or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep, which is obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So reduce your cost. Reduce the headaches. Smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial, management, inventory, HR under one platform. And one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud, so there's no hardware required, and you can access from anywhere. So you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes onto one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Right now, backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. So head to netsuite.com/Patrick. netsuite.com/Patrick.
Oh, my God.
The play, play of the day.
Runner left side, got it!
Check this out.
Tigers by 15 pressure. Steal by KD, a 35-footer. He drains it. Memphis up 18, 38-20. Timeout, Kelvin Sampson.
Kelvin Davis had a big day, 31 for the game. He scored at least 20 in each of the last six games. That's courtesy of Learfield Sports. Memphis with the surprise over number one seed Houston. Play of the day brought to you by Discover Credit Cards. They do something pretty awesome. At the end of your first year, they automatically double all the cash back you've earned. Everything doubled. Cash back from trips and restaurants all doubled. You want to check out the terms and check it out for yourself. Discover.com/match. All right. Celebrity sighting over the weekend for me. Awkward moment in the celebrity sighting for me. And if you don't get it, then you drop out of the contest, and there's a prize at the end of the contest. And I don't know what the prize is, but you don't get it. So the first round, no hints, all right? Then a slight hint, and then we'll see if somebody is able to guess. The celebrity sighting for me over the weekend in New York City. Todd, I'll start with you.
Joe Gorga, Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Okay. I like that. Now, you can pass and wait for the hint second round, but then you run the risk of somebody getting that celebrity sighting. Seton O'Connor.
Keith Richards.
Keith Richards, no. Marvin?
Bobby Flay.
Bobby Flay. Good call. Answer is no. Paulie?
Since I'm last, Dan, I will pass and wait for the hints.
Okay.
Oh, that is soft.
Since I'm the only guy who could win this now.
That's true. Let's see. Let me give you a hint.
Andre Agassi.
Andre? No. this is an actor.
Oh?
Person's an actor.
Obviously not an Oscar nominee.
No. No.
Maybe they're salty about that.
I don't know if the actor has been in a lot of movies.
Oh, I was going to say Ethan Hawke.
Ethan Hawke would have been a good call.
Chris Tucker.
Chris Tucker.
Christopher Merlone.
Bloop, bloop, bloop,
no
bloop.
Way! Wow. Let's go.
Yes. I'm sitting with my daughters, and my youngest daughter is always spotting celebrities, always. The last time we went to this restaurant, she goes, Dad, Courtney Love is staring right back at me. I said, well, then don't stare at her. Well, she's staring at me. And I go, are you sure it's Courtney Love? And I look over and I go, I'll be damned. Courtney Love is right there staring at my daughter. Like, what are you doing staring at me? And then my daughter was going to have a stare down with Courtney Love.
Did anything else happen with Courtney Love?
No. That was it. Now, Law & Order, you know, big time TV show.
Elliot Stabler, Detective Stabler.
And my daughter goes, Dad, Chris Maloney is right over your shoulder. And I thought he was like right over my shoulder. And I said, what's the show? And then my oldest daughter goes, Law & Order. And I go, okay, all right. So now they're talking about Law & Order and all the great episodes and what they love about the show. Now, Dad, being a so-called celebrity, now I have to go over at the end of the meal, wait for him to be done with his meal. He was with a group of people. So then I can go over and do the celebrity, saying hello to a celebrity. And I walked over and I went, hi, Chris. I'm Dan Patrick, sportscaster. He goes, okay. And then I went,
no.
Yeah, it was bad. It was bad.
Okay.
Okay. And I had my daughters there with me. And I think they're thinking, well, this guy obviously knows our dad. And then they realized that he didn't. And then they tried to clean up the mess, you know, the spill in aisle six.
Oh,
and then my daughter goes, and then one of my daughters goes, I never watch your show. It makes me too nervous. And I go, that's not a good line to have. My other daughter goes, I watch. And that's all she said. And then my oldest daughter started reciting episodes there. And then I finally, I said, do you live in nearby? And he told me what street he lived on. He didn't ask where I lived. And I go, oh, I live close by too. And then there's pause. And I can feel my wife tugging on my shirt, like, let's get out of here. And it was bad.
Dun-dun.
It was dun-dun. Yes, exactly. I could hear the Law & Order music in my head going, oh, no.
Law and awkward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bloop, bloop. Oh, yeah. I'm the sports guy. Okay. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. With tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there. Put on your game face. Download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
The all-electric EQS sedan from Mercedes-Benz is luxury and innovation on a truly magnificent scale. It's not just the flagship of the Mercedes-Benz electric lineup. It sets a whole new standard for all luxury electric vehicles. You're going to marvel at this epic 56-inch touch-sensitive hyperscreen featuring self-upgrading next-generation AI and a beautiful, intuitive interface for both driver and front seat passenger. You'll experience next-level comfort in an exquisite spacious, near-silent cabin that makes this flagship feel more like you're piloting a spaceship. And you'll appreciate the graceful aerodynamic design that almost completely eliminates drag for an outstanding operating range of up to 350 miles on a single charge. The EQS is an object lesson in just how far electric mobility has come. The vehicle is all electric. The feeling is all Mercedes. Take a test drive. Learn more. MBUSA.com/EQS. During the commercial break, called my wife, let her know that I was talking about the Chris Maloney dinner situation, and all she did is start laughing. So the Danettes are hearing my wife just laugh because it was awkward when I went up to introduce myself to the Law & Order star.
Laugh with just such a satisfaction of being able there to witness the moment.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, she was cackling, yeah. I think. Paulie and Seton think that you guys have a theory as why this was awkward with Chris Maloney?
Seton's cultivating some theories.
Okay.
This is big news on Twitter right now, Dan Patrick Show Twitter.
All
anyway.
Right, Paulie, do you want to give your theory and then Seton will tell you what he thinks it is?
Okay. All right. Christopher Maloney, the actor, he leans one way very much so politically if you watch his social media, whatever you think of either side.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a politician down south in Texas, mm-hmm. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick down in Texas. And my guess is Chris Maloney would not align with him politically, it'd be fair to say.
Oh.
And I thought maybe when you went over and said the name, he got kind of flustered and, I don't know, confuzzled the two or thought you were him or maybe.
All right.
Probably not the right guess, though.
Yeah, probably not. Because I said sportscaster. Yes.
Well, I've curated this from Twitter.
Oh.
But this fellow writes in, this is an interesting theory.
Right.
It's obvious what happened. Jack's father-in-law sabotaged Chris Maloney against Dan. The father-in-law in town for the baptism showed up to the restaurant first in navy dress blues, then paid off Maloney to act like he didn't know you.
Yeah, I don't think that happened either.
You don't think that's...
Even though my son's father-in-law... He stole the wedding when he was dressed in his navy blues.
Yeah,
and then cut the wedding cake with his sword.
Yeah,
and then he presided over the baptism. By the way, he's a deacon. Yeah, everywhere I look, this guy Chip is always dominating.
He's a
me.
Tom Hanks of father-in-law. He's
like, God, dude, he is owning you.
He
so
is.
Hard.
Yes, man. Chip is like Forrest Gump, you know? He's everywhere. Yes, Paul.
One more theory on Twitter. You said multiple times on this show that you've never watched an episode of Law & Order.
I have not.
As just a week and a half ago, you said that on air.
Yes.
Any chance Maloney payback time? You never seen me work? I'll pretend I've never seen you work.
Okay.
Just a thought.
Which is, it's almost physically impossible to
You're
have
right.
not seen any Law & Order over the years.
There's two on right now on my TV.
I have never seen an episode of Law & Order.
That's
never.
Just impossible.
Yeah. We ready? Albert Breer, the Monday morning quarterback, joining us on the program. Albert, have you ever had an awkward moment where you introduce yourself to somebody thinking they're going to know who you are as the, you know, peripatetic NFL insider and you are the Monday morning quarterback? Has that ever happened to you?
I can't think of specific examples, but I can think of like, there have been a couple where like I might be like talking to somebody at the combine and there's a credential hanging around my neck and clearly the person knows he knows me, but is like trying to look at my credential.
Sneak a
to
peek.
See my
yes,
name.
Yes, 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 yes.
Yeah. Like, hey, dude, what's up?
Hey, Albert. Yeah, good to talk to you. All right.
Yeah, you can see the eye level lowering, you know, like.
We call those elevator eyes. All right, give me both sides to the Carolina-Chicago deal. Sell me on both sides of this.
So the Bears wanted to get it done early. And, you know, I think part of it was a big part of it was Justin Fields' place in all of this. They saw enough from him in 2022 to want to amplify him in 2023, but they're also not sold enough where it's just like we're all in. So they want to get answers on him. And, you know, this is a little bit like when the Dolphins traded for Tyreek Hill last year to get answers on Tua Tagovailoa. They think by having a player in this deal in DJ Moore and then having another resource to go fix the offensive line with the ninth overall pick, they're going to be able to get answers better on Justin Fields. So that's one part of it. The other part of it was the price. And, you know, I think, you know, going into this whole thing, the idea was to come away with a lot of draft capital, obviously, over the next couple of years. And, you know, one thing that I had sort of heard, and I know Poles was out there saying three first-round picks, I heard the price inside the top five was going to be two ones and two twos. And so they got that here, right? In having the ninth overall pick this year, the one next year, a two this year, and then a two in 2025. And having talked to both teams, because of the contract and because of the type of player he is, because of his age, both teams sort of viewed DJ Moore as a chip, as a first round pick. And so, you know, I think the Bears' desire to get their price and get their price early and get Justin Fields' help was a factor. You know, on the other side of it, I think the Panthers wanted to be able to do all their business out in the open, you know, and they felt like they'd have an advantage here and that maybe they were further ahead on the quarterbacks than some of the other teams. Like the Bears had talked to Houston and Indianapolis, and, you know, I think the Bears felt like those teams were a little bit more like, okay, like let's get like the medicals, let's like get a look at the guys physically. Where I think Carolina was a little bit more aggressive, which gave the Panthers an advantage here. So, you know, this allows the Panthers to look at all four guys. My understanding is they're really comfortable with two of them. And now they're going to see if they can add a third to that group, which could influence maybe a trade back down a spot or two. But one way or the other, they feel like they control the board right now. And the Bears walk away with their haul of draft picks and also, you know, some resources to help Justin Fields with and to get some answers on Justin Fields as well.
But who do you think Carolina is circling here with? You say they are split on two quarterbacks?
I don't know this for a fact. My guess would be the two would be Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud.
Okay.
And I think there's interest in Levis. I think there's interest in Anthony Richardson. I think they're going to see whether or not, you know, over the next 6 weeks and sitting down and talking with these kids and watching them throw live and all that. And I'd expect they're going to have a big contingent that goes out and sees C.J. Stroud throw live in Columbus and sees Will Levis throw live in Lexington and Anthony Richardson in Gainesville and Bryce Young in Tuscaloosa. They're going to see, I think, if a third guy joins that group, is good enough to join that group. My sense right now, and this is, you know, just kind of reading the tea leaves from the last few months, not just the last few days, my guess would be like the football people there, like Bryce Young, I think the owner has a little bit of a liking for C.J. Stroud. And so I think that they're going to be have an open mind towards the way they look at this. You know what I mean? Like, I think that they're going to go through all of the paces with all four of the guys. And, you know, of course, they've got a preconceived notion based on what they've seen on tape, but I think they're going to be open-minded to the idea of each of the four guys and, you know, the idea of either sticking at one or maybe moving down a spot or two. The one non-negotiable is that they got to come away with a quarterback, but there are different ways to do that.
Explain to the audience what today is in the NFL with legal tampering.
Yeah, so legal tampering is probably the worst phrase that anyone's ever created for something. Like, it's not tampering if it's legal. Is that right, Dan?
Yeah, I would think so.
I think this is like the open negotiating window. So at noon today, teams can start to talk to each other. They can actually come to verbal agreements, but they can't write and sign contracts until Wednesday at 4 o'clock when the new league year starts. That's also when these trades can be formalized. Technically, the Panthers-Bears trade isn't formalized yet because there's a player involved in it, and you can't trade a player until the new league year begins. So, so what you'll see today is a whole bunch of agreements reached between players and teams, and the free agent class is very thin this year. But I think some of the top guys, you know, like your Jesse Bates, the safety from Cincinnati, a couple of the offensive tackles, Orlando Brown, Juwan Taylor, Caleb McGarry, Mike McGlinchey, some of the D tackles, Javon Hargrave, Draymond Jones. I think you'll see some of the high-end guys come to agreements over the first few hours in that negotiating window. And then it's just like sort of hold on to your butts for the teams, because we've seen in the past where players will have second thoughts over the course of that. You know, I think it's what it would be, 52-hour window. I think my math's right. 52-hour window from the start of the negotiating period to the start of the league year. And there are examples, again, like Anthony Barr backed out of a deal with the Jets to stay with the Vikings. If you remember Frank Gore, this was probably 10 years ago now, but Frank Gore had a deal in Indianapolis, backed out of it to sign, or no, had a deal with the Eagles that he backed out of to sign with the Colts. So, so this is sort of what we're entering into is, you know, 52-hour window where deals will be done, but they won't be formalized. They can't be formalized until Wednesday at 4 o'clock.
He's Albert Breer, the Monday morning quarterback. What do you think Aaron Rodgers is still mulling over?
My guess would be, you know, I think that the top two likelihoods here are he either plays for the Jets or retires. And I think, you know, it's just come into a comfort level with the idea of playing in New York, of playing for Robert Saleh, of what that organization has to offer him. You know, but I would say this, you know, I think the presentation that they made to him out in California last week was a powerful one. And a lot of it, like Dan, is based on the flexibility they have with the roster. The reason why is a lot of their best players are on rookie contracts. Now, Quinnen Williams will be coming off of his, but if you look down, up and down that roster, Sauce Gardner, Garrett Wilson, Oliveira Tucker, and Breece Hall coming back off of injury, there are a lot of good young players on that team that are still on their rookie deals, which gives you flexibility to add players elsewhere. In some ways, it's sort of like Tampa was. Like Tampa had a lot of good young players that were still on their rookie contracts and were still cheap, which gave them the flexibility to go and add a Rob Gronkowski or a Jason Pierre-Paul or an Ndamukong Suh. So I think the Jets feel like they're in that sweet spot that Tampa was in 3 years ago, where not only do they have guys on the roster that can attract Aaron Rodgers, but also some flexibility to bring in some guys he might want to bring with him.
OBJ working out for teams. And I'm not sure where you would rank these teams.
It's significant, Dan, because the free agent class sucks in that position. I mean, I think Jacoby Myers is probably
Adam
the top
Thielen.
Guy. Yeah, Adam Thielen, who, you know, depending on who you talk to, how much does he have left? You know, a couple guys who I think have big play potential but haven't performed to that potential, and Mecole Hardman from Kansas City and Paris Campbell from Indianapolis. You know, I think Odell Beckham becomes attractive for the same reason DJ Moore was attractive to the Bears, because there aren't a ton of high-end options out there. And with Odell Beckham, you're not sure he can get back there, but you know he's been there, you know? And so, you know, does Buffalo throw its hat in the ring? Do the Jets throw their hat in the ring if Aaron Rodgers is their quarterback? Mm-hmm. The Rams seem less likely now because of the spot they're in, but the Chiefs investigated it, you know? Like, so would the Chiefs look at it, and would he take less to go to a place like that? Dallas, like, so there are going to be suitors. I think the question is what the price point is, and I sort of think this is like, it's one of those, like, even if you don't have a ton of cap space, it's like, it can't hurt to ask if you're one of these teams where it's like, maybe we can get a bargain. Maybe we don't have to spend $20 million a year to go and get him. And I think where he lands is going to sort of, you know, boil down to his priorities. Is it money, or is it going and competing for a championship? We'll find that out pretty soon.
Dolphins are all in going after Jalen Ramsey. Mm-hmm. Now they just have to make sure their quarterback stays healthy. What do you make of the move? We know what the Rams are doing, but Miami getting Ramsey, felt like there were probably a few others. I think Detroit was another possible landing spot for him, but what do you make of what the Dolphins did?
It's funny you said the Dolphins are getting Ramsey, and they kind of are getting Ramsey if you like consider what the Rams were you know, a couple of years ago. They they're taking advantage of like the window that they're in with their quarterback on a rookie contract. And because, you know, like he didn't justify an extension, like that's not ideal, but the benefit to it is that he's still going to be on that right rookie contract into a fourth year. And they do believe in him. I think the question is the health thing. And it's not just the concussions. I mean, all this stuff goes back to Alabama. He couldn't stay healthy there either. So, you know, I think this is an extension of what they did last offseason with Tyreek Hill and Teron Armstead. And Jalen Ramsey's a player because of his flexibility that's, all you have to do is go back and look at what Brandon Staley did with him and how much Brandon Staley loved him, putting in Vic Fangio's defense in LA, and then how how Raheem Morris built off of that the last couple of years, because you can move Jalen Ramsey around. He becomes such a valuable piece in what Vic Fangio is going to try to build there. And that, of course, becomes an extension of the, you know, between $4.5 and $5 million a year they're paying Vic Fangio to be there. So, you know, I think that this is the Dolphins being in a window where they feel like we have to be the aggressor now, because we don't know how long this is going to last. And we don't know where our quarterback position is going to be in a couple of years. So, like, let's see what we can get out of Tua Tagovailoa, yes, but, you know, let's also take advantage of the flexibility we have because our starting quarterback is cheap.
How bad is it going to be for the Rams this year?
You know, I believe in Sean McVay's ability to develop talent. And I think if you look at, like, the guts of their roster, you know, you've seen, like, the sort of second wave of players that have come through there that, you know, like, have become valuable pieces, the third and fourth round picks, guys who've cashed in other places. You know, you look at, like, the John Johnsons of the world, who's a really good player for them and, you know, wound up getting a big deal in Cleveland. You know, I just think that they've done a really, really nice job of developing lower round draft picks. And so, is it going to look the same? No. Is this going to be a 13 win team? Probably not. I have a hard time seeing where they won't be competitive, though, you know, and I think that it's still going to be a team that's going to, you know, have identity and be competitive. And, you know, I think with the extra draft capital, they're going to be able to, you know, remake certain parts of the team. And again, they still have some of those core pieces on hand in Matthew Stafford and Cooper Kupp and Aaron Donald. And if those guys are healthy, and remember, they weren't healthy last year, I mean, you could certainly see it being a playoff team. Again, I don't think they're going to win the NFC. But in a conference that's not all that deep, and, you know, not, and even at the top isn't incredibly strong, like, I could see them finding a way to get into the playoffs, even with a roster that looks radically different.
Interesting. Always great to talk to you, Albert. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, Dan.
That's Albert Breer. He's the Monday Morning Quarterback, and you can read his column. Always have some great insight there, some great nuggets. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. My favorite part of this song is right there. Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. Got golf. Next stop is the Snake Pit. It's the Valspar Championship. That'll be coming up next week on NBC Golf Channel and Peacock. Update the poll results, and then we'll head to Hollywood scene.
Perfect segue, Dan, as you do. Okay. Who's more famous, Dan Patrick or Chris Maloney? You still dominating 80-20.
Okay, you said Chris Maloney.
Should be Maloney. Maybe it's just because of Lou Maloney, but...
Yeah, Lou Maloney of the Red Sox.
Even if you said Chris Maloney right now, I would hear Merloney.
Okay. Sorry. The famous actor from Law & Order. Kevin Frazier, Nichelle Turner joining us on the program, Entertainment Tonight co-host. Guys, thanks for joining us. I'm sure it was a late night there. The most awkward moment you've had with a celebrity. Now, I had an awkward moment with Chris Maloney over the weekend at dinner. He didn't know who I was. And I had my daughters with me, and I was trying to show off, and it was terrible, terrible.
I'm not laughing at you, but I am.
Yeah, Nichelle, you have every right to laugh at me because my kids did.
Oh my God!
I was going to say that is. I had dinner at Chris Maloney's house. Nice guy. Served wine. Great dinner. So, you know, great guy.
Okay, have you had an awkward moment, like one of those where you think that they're going to know who you are and you realize that they don't know who you are?
Yeah.
So many of them. There have been more than one. What would be your...
My most awkward moment with a celebrity? Oh, I think it was Tommy Lee Jones.
Oh, everybody's
just because he's not kind.
Yeah, no.
And so, like, I literally wanted to, like, run screaming from the room, and I pretty much did.
I remember that. What junket was that? Where
people were crying.
There together. We were there together.
It was
people
Men in
were
Black.
Crying.
It was one of the Men in Black movies. Yeah.
He had people leaving the junket room crying.
Yeah.
He crushed folks.
Yeah. So it was awkward. So I just got up in the middle of the interview and left, and I said, "Okay, we're done."
Do you know what I tried? I tried to go to Al Gore, his college roommate. I tried to talk about his horses program. Oh. He has a program that works with horses. I was like, forget the movie, man. Let me talk about horses. Something you like. He didn't give
no,
a
nothing.
Damn.
I said, yeah, you were college roommates with Al Gore, you know, playing football. He was like, did you watch the movie? I'm like, oh, I mean, come on, Tommy, just give me something, man. So it was very awkward. So I think that's my most awkward.
He was tough. That was tough, yeah.
Yeah, my most awkward run-in with a celebrity is that.
Given what we had last year, not a lot of drama this year. Last night, right?
I didn't need that type of drama.
And we're still trying to sort out what happened last year. But how would you sum up last night?
Kimmel was a 10.
Yes,
that's the first thing. I thought he was a 10 for sure. I am of the mindset now after seeing him last night. I think he needs to do it every year.
The forever
just
host.
Bring Jimmy back. Okay. Let him do it. He knows pacing. He knows how to land the joke. He knows how to go after folks that don't feel that it doesn't feel mean, where it just feels still fun, but he's still getting the punchline in. So I think off top.
The Robert Blake joke hurt a little bit.
I mean,
that one hurt a little
bit. That was
a tough one. He hit Robert Blake hard.
Well, I mean. I mean.
But,
come on.
But I'm saying it's like. Certain cities should always host the Super Bowl. Certain cities should always host the Final Four. He should be in a short, tiny rotation of people who do the Oscars. He's that good.
Yeah. You can sprinkle Regina Hall in there for me with him because I just think she's fantastic and ridiculously funny. But I think Jimmy was like, he hit everything great. And, you know, there were some emotional moments as well, Dan. I mean, we saw history being made with Michelle Yeoh being, you know, the first Asian female actress to ever win Best Actress. Only one of two women of color in the 95 years of the Oscars to win. So we saw that. It was so great. We saw Short Round, Dada, get his Oscar last night.
And
he got to hug Harrison Ford. It was a full circle moment because, you know, Harrison gave him his start in Indiana Jones. And we saw, you know, just his story was so inspiring. And we just root for that guy.
Here's what I want to know. I know Dan has his SAG card. And I'm not sure. Do you get to vote, Dan? And did you watch all the movies?
I did not watch all the movies.
Which ones did you see?
I saw everything. I saw The Banshees. I saw Maverick. What are the other
ones? You're doing better than most, though.
Yeah. you know, I was wondering.
Elvis?
I didn't like Elvis, but I did watch it. I was wondering about this. I was hoping that Tom Cruise would have been celebrated last night by everybody there. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't going to win. But what he did for movies this past year, to have that place give him a standing ovation,
facts.
I thought would have been wonderful to have him present an award last night.
Dan, we have a great story about. Listen, let me just tell you, Tom is working right now. He's still making Mission Impossible.
Part two.
His producing partner came to the awards, but he landed from London after working with Tom the night before. At 3 o'clock, his wife met him with a tuxedo and shoes. They raced over to the red carpet and made it for the end of the red carpet. So Tom was like, you know what? I'm here. I'm not going to risk it. I'm just going to stay in London. I'm going to work. And so instead, he stayed in London and worked.
I'm going to side with Dan, though. We were all so geeked thinking that Tom Cruise was going to be there. I mean, he is a movie star with a capital M, capital S, right? And so we were all geeked with this.
Yeah.
And if we're being honest, Top Gun Maverick was the
best
film
of
the year.
A 10.
It was the best movie of the year. It was a perfect movie.
Thank you.
It should have won Best Picture.
Thank you.
And it kind of makes me angry sometimes when, you know, Academy voters kind of, you know, stick their nose in the air a little bit and think that a tent pole can't be the best film of the year, because this, in fact, was. It hit every note.
It was a great movie that everybody went to see. It got everybody back in the movie theaters. And
he saved the movie industry with that movie.
You have 35 years between those movies, and it was still perfect.
Better than the original.
Yes.
I said what my chest did.
All I know is you still had a scene on the beach and they're playing football. So, you know, right? How many of us, when's the last time you wore cutoff jeans, Kevin?
He probably wore them yesterday, Dan.
Dan, I do have a pair of cutoff jeans. I will not lie. I do have a pair of cutoff jeans, okay?
Now, did you guys, what after party do you go to?
Ooh, I went to this club called Bed.
I was going to say home. Well, I went to the club. I went to club home. Because let me tell you about this, Dan. Here's what happens. We were here at 3 a.m. this morning to do live TV. And if you go out, automatically snowballs into a bad 2-day. It's like a 2-day bender.
I'm 48.
It's a bender.
I just want to be cute and like in bed and just that's it. I can't do it.
Okay, give
Beyonce
me the best
and
party.
Had a party. Beyonce and Jay-Z's party.
Yeah, their party is the best.
The gold party is always the party.
Yeah.
Okay, but what happens other than there's beautiful people there?
No one knows.
There is great music. And there is great camaraderie.
No, it's like the Fight Club, though. The first rule of the gold party is you don't talk about
it. Yeah, if you talk about it, nobody gets in.
Absolutely. So that's, you know, Beyonce made the song about it. Remember when somebody said they bit her and nobody knew who bit Beyonce? It was the big thing.
At the party. Right.
And she wrote in the song, if you want to party with the queen, you have to sign a non-disclosure.
Yeah.
That's
you
why.
You can't say a word.
Kevin Frazier, Nichelle Turner Entertainment tonight. What do you have on tap for... entertainment tonight.
Well, Kevin's doing his bracket. That's what we've
let's be honest about this. I have my bracket. I'm working on it right now.
Like
some things I need to know. I've been watching.
We're battling back and forth because we've got different opinions.
We've talked about some games. She's a Mizzou grad.
Yeah, I'm going up Thursday for the game in Sacramento.
Okay.
I'm ditching work for the day, and I'm going to go to the game.
Okay.
Very hyped about what her Tigers are going to do. I'm very interested to see what they do do. I mean, you know.
Don't play with me and the Tigers. Don't do that. We're not going to do that today, Dan.
And he just said do.
I didn't say passion bucket, but I said doo-doo. And I want to say that Utah State is tough. Arizona is going to be more than I think that could be more than they
we're
can.
We're going to wipe the floor with Utah State. Don't play.
Okay.
But he's trying to fill out his bracket. But we're going to have all of that. You know where you were asking us about all the parties. We were at like all the parties last night, and folks were out in droves. So we're going to have all that, the stuff you didn't see on the Oscar stage, that'll all be on the show tonight.
We'll have the fact that I almost tripped Rihanna.
Yeah, he was almost the most hated man in Hollywood this morning. Because, he did. He almost made Rihanna fall.
It was, Dan, my life flashed in front of me. She was walking in, and, you know, we've just been with her at the Super Bowl, just did an interview. We were so excited to see her. She was walking by. She turned to give us love and lost her balance.
Kevin's fault. It's almost as bad as Chris Maloney. Almost as bad.
Dan, I'm going to talk to Chris for you, man. I'm going to talk to Chris for you. I don't know. He must have got confused or something.
I know.
Kevin, I walked over and I said, hey, Chris, Dan Patrick, sportscaster. He goes, oh, okay. Now, I know I'm dead. I know I'm dead when he goes, oh, okay. And then
just hung out there. That just hung in the air. Ooh, Dan.
And it was capital O and K. And it wasn't okay.
Uh-huh.
No, it was all bad.
It was it just hung there. I could see the words and I wanted to grab them and bring them back.
And then you had to go tell your kids.
Well, they saw it. They watched.
Right? No, they were right there with me. No.
Oh, they were standing with you.
Yes, they wanted to meet him. I played the I'm a celebrity, he's a celebrity, he's obviously going to know who I am. Girls, come on over. Let's meet him. My daughters were so excited.
You can never tell your kids anything ever again now because they're going to be like, yeah, whatever.
And
you
don't Nichelle. Even
know Nichelle.
What is that the equivalent? You know what that's the equivalent of, Dan? And we were talking about this yesterday on the red carpet. When publicists come on with like the person who's there for like editing.
Yeah.
And they walk up with the dude right behind them. And it's like, check with us beforehand because we don't want to break your heart. They walk up and they're like,
I know him. I know Kevin. I can get this for you.
And they walk over and they say, hey, are you interested in so and so? He's nominated for editing. And we're like, I'm sorry, we're good. We're going to pass.
Oh.
And then they have to turn around and that person's staring daggers at us. What was the guy for the musical guy, the score? The guy who did the score for the For the Fablemans? Was it Fablemans?
Oh, I don't remember what film it was. God, we're not going to call him out.
No, right, right. But he was so mad at us. Oh, he was so mad. No, no, it wasn't Fablemans. That was John Williams.
No, no, no. We're not going to do that.
But I'm going to say it was somebody who was really mad at us. Yeah.
Well, thank you for making me feel worse. And I look forward to you sending in the bracket. And if you talk to Chris, just tell him, hey, you know, I'm sorry. I don't know what I did or didn't do, but, you know.
I mean, he is a sex symbol, Dan.
Wonder if I say Dan Patrick, will he know who Dan is?
Chris Maloney's behind has like its own Instagram, but like it's legendary now.
Well, he didn't stand up. He was seated. So I wasn't able to go, Chris, turn around. Yeah, I see it.
I think if Dan had said all the movies he'd been in and some of those Adam Sandler movies.
Like, I'm in Adam Sandler movies.
No.
Right.
He would have said, Longest Yard?
It wouldn't have mattered. It would not have mattered. But
That's a tough okay. That's a toughie.
But you know what? We should all get humbled. You know, it's okay. It's okay.
Yeah. That's your Shaquille O'Neal thing. Shaquille always says, if he could shoot free throws, nobody would be able to tell him anything because he'd have been the greatest thing ever. So he needed that to keep him humble. That's what you needed. You needed that to keep you humble.
Now, I know Kevin could outshoot Shaq from the line. Nichelle, you might be able to outshoot Shaq.
I can totally outshoot
him. That's easy. Yeah, that's
100%. And I'm terrible, so I can totally outshoot him from
the line. Dan Patrick, shut the hell up.
Yeah.
Thank you. Dan Patrick, shut the hell up. Thank you for joining us, guys. And I'll wait to get your bracket. Thank you, guys.
Okay, it's coming. It's coming.
All right. Nichelle
Turner. We're going to call Chris right now. Let's call him.
That'd be great.
Call Chris, our man.
Thank you. Kevin Frazier from Entertainment Tonight. Yeah, they really cheered me up there, didn't they? Yeah, Paul.
You should. I wish you, on radio, you can't see, but you should have saw her face when you. Oh, my kids are with me. She goes, oh, no.
Oh, I know.
Oh, no.
I know.
I love that Kevin Frazier meeting. He's like, oh, really? Because I've had dinner with him. I'll call him right now and be like, yo, what's up, man? Like,
I know.
What happened? You don't know DP?
That's okay. That's okay.
His smile. Did he hear that story? Said it all.
Jerks. I'm going to be watching Billy Bush.
Hey, there's no reason to get rude right now.
Extra. I'm going to be watching Extra tonight. Harvey Levin with TMZ. That'll teach those guys. All right, we'll come back. Last call for phone calls. What we learn is Jim Boeheim on the program tomorrow.
He sure is.
Oh, okay. I guess I get a chance to ask him if he really wanted to retire. He might be sassy with me. He's always.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful fingersticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take more control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.